First of all, as usual, I will continue hearing confessions after the sermon. And I encourage everyone, as always, to read each bulletin carefully. And I urge you to read them, even the points that you think are repetitious, each Sunday. I suggest you read them each time anyway, because there are often slight changes in them that are pertinent to the particular time or period that the bulletin is in. I almost forgot, but the first thing we want to do is say an Our Father and a Hail Mary for the soul of Ray Hopkins, who died Thursday, the father of our Michelle Roberts. So let us kneel.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
I also, on behalf of all the monks and nuns, want to thank everyone who helped us out this past Wednesday concerning food. Because this past Wednesday, a very important, a very solemn, a very awesome, a very awe-inspiring event took place. And that is Father Abbott, with the assistance of his monks and a visiting priest, consecrated our high altar. It sounds like, for those who have never seen it or witnessed such an event, it sounds like a trifling thing. You know, this, you're blessing an altar. Whoopee-doo. This particular ceremony took 3.5 hours. It would have taken longer if we had been able to sing everything. But until you actually experience such an event, you wonder, why all the pomp and ceremony? Why all the big to-do made over it? And yet, as I'm sure those of you who were fortunate enough to witness it, as I myself, it makes you realize, as you go through all the complicated steps and all the repetitious blessings and incensings and sprinklings with holy water and all the exorcisms and blessings, it makes you realize that we are preparing something very sacred for a very sacred reason. That God Himself, who is the creator of everything, is coming down to rest on that altar. And if we look at it from that point of view, we realize why the church has decreed such a solemn ceremony, such an involved ceremony. In fact, looking at it from that light, you almost couldn't make such a ceremony too complicated or too long. Today, unfortunately, with the loss of the authority of the Catholic Church, so to speak, we have a tendency, especially us younger ones who never experienced them in the first place, but even some of the older ones who at least partially experienced them before the changes came about, because of the passage of time and the watering down of everything, we have a tendency to not see the importance of these ceremonies and these processions and these blessings and exorcisms. We have another ceremony coming up on October the 10th that I'm afraid a lot of people might tend to also put down on a not very important level. It's a blessing of a statue and the crowning with a procession of another statue of Our Lady with benediction. We might think it's just another event. And I wonder how many of us will be coming, partly motivated by the reception that is being held afterwards at the local community center. I think too many of us let our stomachs influence whether we attend such events or not. But my good people, if that is the reason we come, it would be better that we come not at all, because we are mocking God and mocking Our Lady. We should come to these events out of love, because we want to give honor to Our Lady and to our God. It's the best we can do in these days. Once upon a time, when the church was the church, these things happened with regularity. Even non-Catholics were turned out by the thousands to attend these events. A few years ago, we read in our refectory the life of a certain cardinal. I forget exactly which one right now, but it was back when the church was the church. And this particular cardinal, before he was a cardinal and before he was a bishop, while he was still a simple priest, was appointed a bishop of a certain large city, something like Chicago or somewhere, I'm not sure, but a large city in the United States. When the day came for the bishop to come to that city and take up residence, the entire city, from the mayor down to the street sweeper, showed up and lined the streets. Protestant, Jew, Catholic, everybody lined up to welcome the bishop. That's the kind of faith people had, the reverence people had, even if they didn't have the faith that we have, the Catholic faith. But even the non-Catholics saw something in those processions that they respected. And it is only by our participation in such events, from our hearts full of love, that we will have any effect on the world around us. So I urge everyone, when we attend such events, especially the one coming up in October, because it's on a Sunday and there's less excuse not to attend, I urge everyone to come and to encourage others to come. I said encourage, not force. You cannot force anyone to love. It has to come from the love of their own hearts, our individual hearts, even though it be a weak love. But let us come in October and give our hearts to Our Lady, and let it be real. Let us act as though Our Lady herself were present, because she will be, though we cannot see her. We have only a simple statue to represent her. So let us give that statue the same kind of reverence that we would give Our Lady herself, knowing that we are not reverencing the statue, but Our Lady, who it represents. This week also, including today, we have two feasts of Our Lady. Today is the feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary, and on Wednesday is the feast of her seven sorrows. Both today and Wednesday, let us give Our Lady something a little extra of our love and our suffering and our tears to help appease and to make amends for what is happening to her from the rest of the world, including the majority of the Catholic Church, unfortunately. Our Lady herself, in most places, has been totally disregarded and put on the back shelf. Let us help make amends for everything that's going on in the world on these special days. On October the 10th, let us make it a day of pilgrimage, a day of penitential, a penance. Asking God, begging God to come and show His might and His power before we lose everyone, before all souls are lost. For our Lord Himself, did He not say, if the days be not shortened, even the elect will perish? And yet what is happening? One by one, souls are falling away. One by one, we are losing our precious priests. One by one, we are having nowhere to turn. So what are we to do? What are you to do, those of you who are not priests and have no priest to turn to on a regular basis, and may in the future have even less chance of turning to a priest? Does that mean you are lost? And those poor good people who have no priest at all to come to, except maybe once every 2 or 3 years, are they to be counted as lost? What are they to do? What are you to do? My good people, this might sound heretical, but it's not. So take it as it is meant. But for your individual salvation, a priest is not absolutely necessary. There have been many, many, many souls that have gone to heaven without the benefit of a priest, because a priest was not available. But they simply did the best they could. They loved God. They gave Him the best they could. And when they fell, even mortally, they told God they were sorry. They told Him from their heart, which is a perfect act of contrition. They were sorry because they have offended God, because He deserved everything. For no other reason were they sorry. That's all it takes. Of course, it is understood that when a priest is available, you must and should go to confession before you receive any other sacraments. But in the event of no priest and no sacraments, You love God the best you can. You set up a little room or a little altar or a little corner in your houses that is sacred to you, where you can go to spend a few moments every so often with your God and tell him you're sorry, and you're sorry from your heart, and place yourself in his hands. And even if you have committed the vilest of sins, and you are truly sorry, and you have the misfortune to die without a priest, but you are truly sorry for having offended God, he will not damn you to hell. God isn't just, he's merciful. They work together. And in his justice, he cannot but be merciful. So let us remain strong, trusting God and begging him to help us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.